So Rokon Smith came out and he said, and he, I'm just going to paraphrase here, that it was great to finally be a part of a winning organization. And our friend Brendan Chagrou was like, oh, this one cuts deep. And it does. I mean, in a way, I mean, listen, I'm as optimistic about the Bears as anybody, but I have to face the reality that number one, the Chicago Bears have not won in quite some time. This is the longest, most disappointing stretch of Bears football, probably since the 70s. I mean, this time since Lovie Smith has been fired has not been great. I know we did have some playoff appearances with Matt Nagy. I was about to say playoff success with Matt Nagy, but that would definitely not be the word to use. But we did have a couple of playoff appearances with Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy was 34-31. So he actually was fired with the winning record. This is the longest, most disappointing stretch. And Rokon Smith is now playing for one of the not only best organizations in all of football, but I would even say perhaps all of sports. It's a well-run organization, great people, great family run it. I mean, I'm assuming it's a great. I know one Bishotti, and she's awesome. So I'm just assuming everybody else is as wonderful as Taylor. And so, yeah. So when Rokon Smith says that, it's like, yeah, you're on it. You're on a team that could potentially have the first overall selection in back-to-back years, as opposed to playing for the Baltimore Ravens, who are pretty much in the playoffs every year. John Harbaugh, one of the best coaches in the league. And we hope at some point the Chicago Bears are going to be at that point. And perhaps Ryan Poles will get us there. But for right now, we are not part of it. So I understand that those words kind of sting, but it's the reality of the situation. And we shouldn't worry too much about that. Instead, we should worry about playing the Carolina Panthers in week 9, which is actually a win-win, because whoever wins gets a leg up in draft pick position, and we have both picks, so it doesn't matter. So let's get into it. And Sammy, let's go ahead and start the show.
Turn up your volume. Your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy.
Sports entertainment like no other. It's gonna be sick.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It is time for Take It to the Rank. Not necessarily a new day and not necessarily a new time. We've been doing this Wednesday evening jaunt since the season began. So we appreciate everybody who is joining us here tonight. We'll get you on your way before AEW Dynamite. And of course, the Tape Never Lies Network will be going on in about an hour and a half. But for right now, I made our way through that long preamble. So without further delay, from FoxSports.com and The Sick Podcast, it's Carmen Vitale who is joining us right now. Carmen, how are you living? Ooh,
I know. It was like much more blurred than I was expecting. I'm great. I'm at some family's house, so I don't want to put all their portraits and everything that's going on in the office on blast.
I appreciate you doing that. There's something, you know, now that I know that StreamYard does that, because it's so liberating. Because there'll be times where it's like, I got to drive home because I want to at least be in front of my set sometimes. But it would be nice to be out in a coffee. I guess if you're in a coffee shop, you don't look as bad. But, you know, being in somebody's private home, it's a little bit different. So we appreciate you trudging along for it. By the way, I got to say, I know I talked to you a bit before the show. I'm just coming off 3 days in San Antonio for a work-related event with Strixon Cleveland Golf. And I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you navigate all the travel and then still keep up with everything. I've got to give you a round of applause for everything that you do. But how are you living now?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, it's very, it can be hectic if that's what football season's all about, especially when you have 4 different teams that you have to keep track of. That's the hardest part is like half the time I'm on planes and the Wi-Fi is not working and I'm trying to rewatch a game and it gets hectic sometimes, but we're good. I have actually a really wonderful feature coming out on Sam Laporta tomorrow, so I'm really excited. Ooh,
can't wait for that. Anybody who's playing fantasy football knows that Sam Laporta has been one of the great finds of the season. Anybody who missed out on Travis Kelce, of course, there's been a lot of good tight ends who have emerged this year. Kate Otten being one of them from your former employer. Sam Laporta's been one of them. TJ Hockenson is just about ready to take off with Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs loves this tight end. I know you're not I know that you always claim that you're not hip to fantasy, but this Sam Laporta feature is something that fantasy enthusiasts are going to love. And I'll remind everybody, since we're on this subject, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest way to play fantasy football. It's simple and easy to get started. Go to underdogfantasy.com, or better yet, download the, and I'm surprising Sammy with this one, throwing it right off the top, but Underdog Fantasy is the easiest way to get started. Go to underdogfantasy.com, download the app, use the promo code SICK, and you can get your initial deposit up to $100 matched by Underdog Fantasy. The Guillotine Leagues, which I was talking about in a most recent reel on Instagram, and I think on TikTok, we'll get into that at some point. I won't bore you with that, but for anybody, I'll have a special session to talk about that. Underdog Fantasy is one of the leaders in Guillotine Leagues, if not the top leader. And they also, though, but one of the cool things they have are these pick'em games. And Sam Laporta, I cannot lead you one way, but I'm just saying Sam Laporta and TJ Hawkins. I'm not saying what to do. I'm telling you not what to do, but go to Underdog Fan, other than going to underdogfantasy.com, signing up, using the promo code SICK, and getting that initial deposit done. And a lot of people who will be watching the Thursday night game, if you want to have a little bit of fun, Underdog Fantasy is a way. We are trying to figure out, though, what the heck Matt Eberflus was talking about today. Because it feels like I kind of get what Matt Eberflus was saying. Where is Justin Fields playing? He's like, no, but we're going to give him an opportunity to try it out tomorrow, which is, I feel like, all he needs to say. But he just talked in circles, and yet somehow I remain as confused as ever. What was he talking about? What is going on with Justin Fields?
I mean, he's out. He's not playing. Matt said Justin Fields is not playing tomorrow night against the Carolina Panthers. I understand them wanting to put Justin Fields through a pregame warmup and to see just how he's feeling and how he's progressing and all that kind of stuff, because you really don't know until you go through those motions. But you can still put a guy through a pregame warmup and rule him out. I mean, he's going to have to be ruled out. And even Matt said something about that too, about how they'll rule him out eventually. So I was like, why not just do it now? Like, he's just going to be downgraded to out because he's going to show up on the inactive sheet 90 minutes before kick. Which is when we get those, for every game. Right. So I'm just like, there's no suspense here. I mean, Carolina has prepared for Tyson Bagent, and you're not going to throw Justin Fields in for his first time back from injury into the fire last minute. Like, that's not going to happen. So I don't really understand the doubtful designation. I know people don't understand why Justin Fields didn't go on IR initially. Yeah. I think Courtney Cronin had a great thread about it, but it's a numbers game. You can only designate so many guys for IR and then have them return a certain number of times and all that kind of stuff. So they weren't pressed for the roster spot, I suppose. And also maybe there was some optimism that Justin Fields could be back within 4 weeks, but that hasn't happened. So I don't know. It's really hard to get a straight answer out of Matt Eberflus. If you get one, it comes back around, and it's a frustrating listen when you're in those press conferences. I'm not going to lie.
It's kind of like asking my child why she didn't complete her homework. And instead of being like, I just didn't do it, it's got to be this long-winded explanation. Right. And all of a sudden she's talking about, playing handball with Luna. And I'm like, okay, you're now bringing in information I don't need. Did you do it or not?
And right.
Very simple. And I know the reporters were trying to follow up with him. I just wish, because I was a little frustrated, and because I was like, is there a chance he can play? Like, right. nobody asked that direct question. Like, but wait, he's doubtful. Can he play tomorrow? And if you would, and then I don't know. He kind of, I don't know if he's trying to be effuse or obtuse on purpose. Like, he's like, oh yeah, I need to be obtuse and kind of.
I think that's what it is. He needs more media training, because there is a way to say things as a head coach without revealing too much information. And some really good coaches are very honest about the things that they can be honest about, and it gets them a lot of rapport with reporters. And reporters understand that there's a competitive advantage there, that you don't want to give up too much of your game plan and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, you don't have to talk in these circles, and you don't have to be vague to the point of sounding clueless, because that's what Matt Eberflus sounds like half the time. And I know he's not. That's the thing. You don't get to be a head coach in this league by being clueless. That doesn't happen. So I wish that he would do him. I wish that Matt Eberflus would do himself more favors by speaking more directly to reporters, being upfront about what he can and can't say. And that just comes with time. That comes with media training, of which I don't think he's gotten any.
I think he should just either that or flat out lie and then be like, yep, he's playing. And then just have every, and then 90 minutes before the game, be like, just kidding. He's out. He's inactive. Just to screw with everybody, because I know because he can't, because fantasy football and because of gamblers. And like, that is the reason why he can't play head games with things. And it's kind of a disappointment. Like I was not an old person when this was going on, but I was young enough to remember, like, you would never know. Like these guys, these coaches, like you would be like, oh, like, you know, like you would not know whether a guy was going to play. I remember this is the earliest reference I can think of as a young man. Now, we all know now, looking back in hindsight, Bo Jackson was forced to retire from football because of a hip injury that he sustained against the Cincinnati Bengals in an AFC divisional playoff game. The leading up to the morning of the AFC championship game, there was, and this is the Raiders, so this is Al Davis, keep in mind. There was still a chance, and the Bills, I remember the Bills distinctly being like, we're not going to believe that Bo Jackson is not playing until we see him on the sidelines in street clothes. And there was something special about that. Like this, the mind games and the things that would go on. Now it's like, well, we gotta keep everybody in the loop. We don't want Matthew Berry ranting for 90 minutes because, you know, the Bears tricked everybody. I mean, everybody hates Thursday night football as it is. So if the Bears were to go out there and pull the shenanigans like that, because our show, like I'll even give you a, for instance, like NFL Fantasy Live, we don't know. Like even before the show, we have to be like, yeah, he hasn't been ruled out yet, but right. It is a thing. Like you got to go out there and you got to know, but yeah, Matt Eberflus is not helping himself. I just wish he could be like, he's probably not going to play. Like I would not.
He still said that though. He said, no, like he was asked point blank, is Justin going to play tomorrow? And he was like, no. And then they're like, okay, so why the doubtful designation? Why not out? And they're like, well, and then Matt Eberflus started talking in circles about how they're going to give him and see how it goes. They want to give him an extra day, all that kind of stuff before like ruling him out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but if he's not going to play, then like I said, you can take him through all the warmups. You can take him, you can work him out however you want to work him out.
Yeah.
But like, regardless of if he's on the cusp. And then Matt Eberflus also said that if this was a Sunday game, that there would probably be a little bit of a more of a chance.
Right.
I think he said, or they would take a longer look at it. It was still very non-committal, but yeah. I do think that Thursday plays into this. So just rule him out.
Yeah. And then if you wanted to throw in a reference that nobody would get, be like, oh, he could Willis read it. And then, you know, people would be like, I don't know what this is. And they would go out and they would Google it and be like, oh, that's clever. But none of that stuff. And by the way, Courtney Cronin, I think it was a direct response to me because I've been the one who's been like, why hasn't he just been on IR? But like you said, and like she said, there was still some optimism there. There was still some hope that he was going to miss a week, maybe two. And then it turns into three. And then like, well, you can't IR him now. It's not like, I don't believe that the disabled list is similar to what it is in baseball. Like if a guy doesn't play for 6 days in baseball, you can put him on the I don't think they call it
retroactively. Yeah. You can put him retroactively on.
That doesn't work in
do that on football.
Okay. No, I'm assuming. So there it is.
There's no point to doing it in football either. There's no point to doing it because it just wouldn't matter because you wouldn't get that roster spot back from the past. Yeah,
that's true.
Which is the reason that people do this. So
like, we're good. Our team is on the field and you're allowed to bring an extra quarterback along. So it's not the end of the world. So, but enough about the negative stuff. Jaquan Brisker is going to be back, which is cool. Tyreek Stevenson practice in full. I know there were some questions about Cole Kmet. He's full. He's ready to go. Yeah. I want to ask though about Montez Sweat, because there were a lot of people in the media who are like, this is the dumbest move, unless of course he gets signed long term, and then he gets signed long term, and now they're like, well, now they spent too much money. I don't think the Bears can ever win with whatever they do, but now that Montez Sweat has signed, he is going to be a member of the Bears for the next 4+ years. How do you feel about the deal now?
Yeah, here's the thing. the minute you traded away that second round pick, you couldn't win. You just couldn't, because that gave Montez Sweat all the leverage, and it forced you into a situation that you were trying to avoid in the first place, which is overpaying for someone. But if you think that he was worth a second round pick, you had no choice but to sign him to an extension at that point. And you had, you have to compete with market value. And the Bears got Montez Sweat technically for under his projected market value. But they did give him a ton of guarantees, second most guarantees of any edge rusher, I believe. I understand what you had to do to justify giving up that second round pick. Plus, you wanted to keep the franchise tag available. And I was firmly in the camp that you couldn't give up any more for Montez Sweat. You could not use the franchise tag on him after paying a second round pick to get him. That was just not, that's not, the optics aren't good. It's not good business. You had to sign him to the long-term extension. So the Bears did that. I understand the fact that Montez Sweat has not had a double-digit sack season, and he likely won't this year either, because he's kind of on his own at this point on this defensive line and doesn't have the benefit of three other All-Pros or All-Pro caliber players playing next to him as of right now. But if you think he fits within your scheme, he's good against the run. He's a good all-around defender. He can't, his length can get to quarterbacks. If you think that he can be a difference maker, then this was a good, this was a good contract. It's now up to Montez Sweat to live up to it, for Bears fans to feel better about it, I suppose.
Right.
Oh, it's, and not, that's a lot of pressure.
I know Bears fans are fine with it. I think it's, other members of the media. No, you're still talking, but you're in a frozen state on the screen. We can still see you. It's like the end of Ocean's 12, and they freeze on Catherine Zeta-Jones, and then they just go to black. Can you still hear me? Nope. Okay, we'll bring her back at some point. Here's the thing, though. I think for a lot of Bears fans, outside of the ones who love to play salary cap general, and they're like, well, you know, like, what? I mean, it's fine, but listen, when you talk about building franchises, everybody has said that the Bears need to invest on the in the trenches. Invest in the trenches and go from there. And that's exactly what teams like the Detroit Lions have done that helped them be so successful. So this offseason, you know, I think Tevin Jenkins has proven himself to be a stud. So we've got a linchpin there. Nate Davis was brought in, even though he's been ruled out this week. Okay. And now you draft Darnell Wright, who looks like an amazing player. He's going to be locked in at right tackle for a long time to come. We'll have a decision to make about our left tackle at some point, because Braxton Jones has missed a couple of games, but we'll see. When he comes back, he'll get an opportunity to prove himself. But there's a chance, you know, with having what's expected to be a lot of draft capital, an opportunity to go out there and add on to the offensive line through the draft at some point, but it's okay. I'm just ranting about everything. And, oh no, are you frozen again? Can we hear you? Oh no, we lost her again. It's the blurred background. It's okay. I would just say this, like, everybody wants to build through the trenches, and that's exactly what the Bears have been doing. Like, they, you know, they jumped the gun. So they were going to have to pay somebody. Like, you have to pay money anyways, and the Bears have all this cap space. So it's like, don't worry, we can afford it. We can afford to stay at the Cosmo. Now, you sit there, and you might pay a little bit more for the Bellagio, and you're like, well, we could have stayed for that money at the Resorts World or the Cosmopolitan. That's fine, but we're staying at the Bellagio, and I'm happy with that choice. It's surge pricing. It is what it is. You pay the money. You go on. It's not that big a deal. You spend a second round pick. Good. Do you think that the 34th, 39th overall pick is going to be as good as Montez Sweat? That's a pretty risky, like, I know that people love draft picks, but that's a pretty risky proposition. And you know what? And considering the fact that you could end up with two top five picks, you are going to need money in 4 to 5 years when those players start to become, you're starting to pick up fifth-year options on two top five picks. You will need Montez Sweat's contract to be expiring at that point so that you have money to spend. And if your second overall pick, which is basically a first rounder, if that player was good too, you would have to pay him. So it actually, fingers are crossed, don't worry. So we would have to be paying a lot of money, but I think But it is, listen, I love the idea though. What I've been talking about is built, like everybody wants to build through the trenches, which is what Detroit did. And we're building through the trenches, and having to spend a second round pick is good. I'm expecting those picks to come back though, because depending on how these teams finish up, whatever the, regardless of the decision on Justin Fields, it feels like one of those top five picks is going to be flipped and we're going to end up with a boatload of picks anyways, which gives us a little bit more freedom to make moves like this.
Yeah, that was the other thing that I was going to say is you have a lot of capital that you can be a little bit more cavalier with a high second round pick like that. And I do fully expect one of the picks, the first round picks at least, to be flipped. Even if they do use the first on a quarterback, the likelihood is that these are going to be two top three, top five picks. And so even the second pick is going to be very valuable.
No, for sure. And especially, you know, if the quarterbacks go 1-2 and let's say Arizona ends up with the first pick and decides to go with Caleb Williams or Drake May and the Bears take the other guy. If you had the third overall selection, I know a lot of people would be like, let's get Marvin Jones Jr. I would suspect that we would end up trading down and probably again, going back and building through the offensive and defensive lines, probably with a team that has both old. I mean, like, or if they even, I mean, if somehow Justin Fields comes back and proves that he is the franchise quarterback, then you're like, oh, then gosh, both those picks could end up being moved. And then you're talking about so much draft capital. So it's a weird obsession that some people have continuing to want to harp on the Bears, but I really do believe that was a good move. It wasn't a great move. It's a good move. I know the money is a lot. And if I'm not mistaken though, it doesn't Daniel Jones make as much as Patrick Mahomes this year. Like it's, like that's the way the contracts work in the NFL. Like, yeah, like the best player is often not the most highest paid player. This, whatever your contract's up, Montez Sweat's contract in 3 years will not be the highest for a edge rusher. So we'll be fine.
Yeah, I have to agree. That's just how it works. That's the highest paid. And I just don't think he wanted to get into a bidding war in free agency either for one of these guys.
No, it is probably the best move to make. And I know that Atlanta would have been in the mix and there's some other teams. You never know. You never know who's going to go out there and need a player of his caliber. So getting him locked up is a great thing to do. And I see you're still kind of fighting it. I do want to see though, if we have any questions out there, I know that we typically don't, we don't turn to questions. We usually blow off the audience, and I feel bad. I want to get out there and get a chance. Jason Toy asked, Adam and Carmen, what do you think the chances are we fire Flus before the end of the year? Which is an interesting question to ask, because a lot of people are of the mind that if the Bears lose on Thursday night, that Eberflus could be fired. I don't believe that's going to be the case. I would expect him to finish out the season with the Chicago Bears. I know a lot of people think that perhaps he could end up still coaching the team next season, but he's ending the year with Chicago. Is that right, Carmen?
The Bears have never fired a head coach midseason in their 100 plus year history. That's never happened. So I don't see it starting now unless some of these off the field issues crop back up for details on things that happened off the field. I think that's the only thing that could make the McCaskies deviate from a century of history. But next year, I don't know that I'm committing to Matt Eberflus definitely being here, but I also think he probably will be because of the fact that McCaskies don't like paying coaches that aren't coaching for them. And I don't know for sure because we don't know the details of Matt Eberflus's contract, but it's likely a 3 or 4 year deal. And at that point, if it's a 4 year deal, you still got multiple years left on this contract. I can't think that they're going to make any drastic moves when they're investing in Eberflus's system as well, with stuff like the Montez Sweat trade and all that kind of stuff. So I would think there's virtually no chance during the season unless some of the off the field stuff comes back.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I just hope that, you know, since Montez Sweat is coming from the team that Eric Bieniemy is coaching right now, that they would have a little bit of like, oh, like you got to bring in a defensive coordinator that's going to be able to, not Jack Del Rio, but like somebody who will know how to use him. Cause you have to think about like, you know, I think Montez Sweat would fit just about any system and you just kind of make players like that work. But I know that's all that's a little too simplistic. And I always get mad at people who always try to like to act like it's Madden football to be like, oh yeah, this great player plays well in any system. But you know what? It pays to have good players. And I think if you're the general manager, you want to ensure that you have good players around you. And I think that if Matt Eberflus is dismissed, which would be unfortunate because he is a nice person. You say he's not a bad human being. If he was to be dismissed and, you know, you're hiring, you know, somebody to come in and you know, head up this organization or head coach, be the head coach of this team, you would have to go over the personnel and be like, hey, like, what do you think of this quarterback? What do you think of DJ Moore defensively? What do you think of Jaquan? You know, and you would go through all that stuff. And as you sort of evaluate it, are these the kind of players that fit into your system? Maybe that coach wouldn't be a good match if it's not. So, and also people do lie on job interviews. So I don't know. You can't always trust them. I know that I did. Listen, when I went back in 2007 to work for NFL.com, and they're like, hey, we're looking for somebody who wants to be an editor, not somebody who wants to write, not somebody who wants to be on TV. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm ready to be an editor. I'm going to be a newsroom leader. And then a week later, after I got hired, I'm like, yeah, I want to write. And how can I get on NFL Network? Just what happens. But I think that we would both agree that there's virtually no chance that Matt Eberflus is fired during the season. So get used to it. And get used to having some more fun during the press conferences. But thank you for the question. How about another one? What do we got, Sammy? Alan Watson. Can it even be possible to evaluate Justin Fields with this coaching staff and this line? I think you can. I think that there's some things about him that you can evaluate, some things that you can look at. And I know that Chris Collinsworth got in trouble for talking about this, about like learn from this undrafted rookie. But there are some things that you watch with Justin Fields and you're like, hey, like you hold on to the ball too long. You try to make hero plays all the time. Like, is that coachable? Can we get him out of that? Can you develop this player? I think that some of those problems are, you know, like they're going to always be there. And and the troubling thing too is like, I don't know if you ever watch USC game. I'm not talking about you, Carmen. I'm talking about the lay person in general. Caleb Williams does that a lot too. Caleb Williams always tries to make like, gosh, like there were times, especially in that Washington game. I'm like, dude, this is like watching Justin Fields. Like the line sucks. He runs around. I shouldn't say the line sucks, but like he gets flushed out of the pocket. He doesn't like throwing the ball away. He always wants to hold on to it too long. Like, I don't know. Like, again, this would be one of the things that, if you're bringing in a new coach and you would have some time, you would be able to like, do you want to go with Justin Fields or do you want to draft one of these two guys with a top five pick that we have? So I think you can evaluate him. I don't know that it's fair to Justin Fields, but I think you can evaluate him. What do you think, Carmen?
You absolutely can. That's the business of this game. Justin Fields has had 33 games in this league to prove whether or not he's a franchise player. And forgive me, but if you're a true franchise player, if you are a truly elite player, you can overcome these circumstances. Look at what CJ Stroud is doing in virtually the same situation in Houston. He's got a defensive first-time head coach. He's got a first-time play caller as his offensive coordinator. He's got a questionable line, even more so than the Bears. I don't think the line is an excuse anymore. Like they're playing together now. And Tevin Jenkins, I love the character arc for Tevin Jenkins because he has a strength for this line now. You can't use the line as an excuse anymore. You just can't. It's better than, it's not the best line in the world, but it's better than probably at least a third of the other teams in this league at this point. And CJ Stroud is, again, in the same situation. He's got less at his skill positions. He's got less when it comes to his offensive line. And he just went out there and threw 470 and 5 touchdowns. And like, again, he's in a very similar situation. It was his 9th NFL game. So I tend to think, and this is why I was hesitant, because I'm like, I still need to see it out of Justin Fields. And I haven't seen it yet. And if that's the unfortunate part is what it is, because I do think that Justin has a ton of talent. And I do think that coaching could help him out a ton. And if he was truly in a system that tailored to his skill set, he could be a better player and you could see more out of him and you could get a better evaluation. But that being said, this is a business. He's had time And I don't see him overcoming his circumstances. I don't see him elevating players around him. And again, when you're talking franchise quarterback, not just a starting quarterback, not just your quarterback this year, when you're talking a franchise player, you need to be able to see that. And that's goes for anyone. That doesn't just go for Justin Fields. I feel like that's the benchmark we judge all franchise players on. And you look at Daniel Jones, how many people thought he was undeserving of that contract because he didn't elevate the players around him. He didn't overcome his circumstances. He was a serviceable quarterback and that was it. And you're paying him franchise money. So I think that's a really good question, actually. I'm just thinking about this. It's a really good question to ask fans is, would you be comfortable giving Justin Fields $40 million a year right now? Because that is what you're headed towards if you keep him. And I don't know the answer to that for most Bears fans. I would be very interested to know.
It is an interesting question because prior to the Minnesota Vikings game, he was coming off back-to-back weeks of throwing four touchdown passes. So we were starting to do it. He obviously was flustered in that game against the Minnesota Vikings, but he did not get an opportunity to finish it out. He did not get a chance because I think that's one of the things that I really wanted to see out of Justin Fields next is like he was making the throws. Like he had the four touchdown games, winning some games. Okay, now you've won a game. He went to Washington, made a couple of clutch throws to seal a game. Like, okay, I wanted to see that. Felt great about that. I wanted to see him. I wanted to give him the opportunity to go out there and play in a game where it's like it's been rough and you've been held to 112 yards. But then you went out there when the time was when the chips were on the line and you went out there and made that win. So I think that when he returns and hopefully after the mini bye, which will come after this week, he is going to be the starting quarterback again. And it is play for your contract. It's like being on the PGA Tour. Like you need to make the cut. You need to go out there and show it. I believe that Justin Fields can do it. I think that he can overcome the coaching. I think that he can make the throws. He's got to be more decisive. He's got to make quick throws. He's got to pepper DJ more with targets. Go out there and do those things that other quarterbacks who are successful go out there and do. I still think he can do it. Do I feel comfortable at this moment giving him a $40 million contract? I wouldn't, but I still believe that he could earn himself into that position. If he comes back and he goes on a tear and the Bears win five of their last eight or they do something special, then I'm like, let's go. Let's see what happens. And then we can use that capital to get even more players and see what happens and build a strong roster. But I think that he just needs to go out there and he needs to do it. And I think that's fair. And I think that you don't have to be labeled.
What I've been saying.
You don't like, it's not hating. Like I want to see it. Yeah.
That's literally all I've said. That's all I've said going into this season. Everybody was really high on, you know, second year in the system. He doesn't have any more excuses, all that other stuff. So I'm like, okay, show me. And I'm not saying he can or can't do it. I'm still not saying he can or can't do it. I'm not making judgments on the future necessarily. But until he shows me that, I can't sign off on the Bears keeping him and not drafting a new quarterback when they have such valuable draft capital in this draft. Like, not only are you is Justin Fields playing for his contract? He's playing to keep someone else out of the organization that is undoubtedly a higher prospect than he was. So he's playing to keep his competition out of the building. And that's what you need to see. You need to see him come in those clutch situations. You need to see him lead a game-winning drive, which again, we saw CJ Stroud do that on Sunday. So to a rookie, no less, who had multiple drops in that game. So I don't want to hear about being able to trust his receivers. I don't want to hear about like that. You can't let that prevent you from playing the game and playing your game the way you're supposed to, playing the game itself the way you're supposed to. Again, I saw a rookie do it. So I need to see Justin Fields do it after 33 starts.
Well, in fairness, Justin Fields did do it as a rookie. And then the referees called a taunting penalty on Cassius Marsh, which kept him from having a signature comeback win. Cause I don't know, some referee, I don't know. That guy cannot still be employed by the NFL. Like I was just, cause like, this is the day in history that it happened. And I remember it was a Monday night game. I was doing the Monday night post game show. And I just remember that play being like that referee purposely hip checked him and then threw a flag. Like, wait, how are you? Like, how does a referee draw a foul? Like, how is that possible? Where are we in society that referee, like, you're the referee, you don't have to draw the foul, just whatever. But I think that, again, he's going to have an opportunity to go out there and do it. And if he does it, I see, because I would still think that, like, with having these two top five picks, and I know that Drake May is amazing, and Caleb Williams is this generational. It's so funny that the word generational talent gets thrown around so much. We've had like once six generational guys every year. So even
why
then,
can't we,
like,
just say he's the best prospect this year? Why can't we just say player. That? Like, I just, listen, that's great. That's a huge accomplishment.
And there's going to be quarterbacks the following year who are going to come out in the draft. So, like, listen, if Justin comes out enough, like, because having all those picks, like being able to flip, especially if you get first and second, imagine like what the Carolina Panthers paid for Bryce Young. Like, what is the price for Caleb Williams or Drake May? Like, those, like, draft picks for years in building a sustainable football operation. I don't know. I want Justin to come out there and do it, and I hope he does it. And it's not going to start this week, but hopefully in the coming weeks, he can go out there and get his opportunity. How about another question? Oh, by the way, before we do, okay, we'll do this. No, bring up Devon. That's fine. Devon Doy, do you believe the Bears trading, signing for Sweat gives the Bear draft versatility in 2024? I think it does. Like, you're not handicapped into drafting a pass rusher. I thought that part of it was savvy. And again, going back to the point of like, hey, they want to build through the trenches. I do think that it kind of opens up the board for them a little bit.
I also think it gives you a little bit of insight into who Ryan Poles is as a GM, because you have to think that instead of taking a gamble on a pass rusher, you now have, you have a known commodity at that position. So could you get a similar prospect to what Montez Sweat was in the second round rather than giving up that pick? Sure. But it's probably a gamble. It is a gamble, not probably. It is a gamble, because you never know at the end of the day if these guys are actually going to pan out. So this was a vote of, hey, we definitely need a pass rusher. I need at least some sort of veteran, some known commodity that I know can at least be a little bit of a difference maker just on his own. That's not a thing that you want to put on a rookie necessarily. And again, if you do flip one of those picks, I feel like you've got edge rusher as a major need off the board. You're going to need another one. You can never have enough edge rushers, right? But you need offensive linemen. You need probably another running back. So you have still some of these very high needs or these pressing needs that you now have the ability to go and draft, because you're not worried about an edge rusher anymore. Yeah. And you have the known commodity there. I think you should get a mix of offensive linemen. I think you should get some experienced guys, spend some money. And then I also think that you can draft them, a couple. But I just think that this was checking a box, checking something off the list that was important to you with a known commodity. And that shows you kind of where Ryan Poles heads at a little bit.
Yeah. He's going to the trenches, which is a great idea. I mean, he drafted Darnell Wright. He traded for Montez Sweat. I think that, again, it's a blueprint of building through the trenches, one that's been proven to be successful in the NFL for quite some time. How about another question? I was just going to say, Scott, Rankin Carman, do you think the Bears will ever attain a conversation with Harbaugh? I know that Kevin Warren is there now, but I don't see it happening. Thoughts? I do know that it is a fantasy booking type of situation where we hope. I mean, I've seen the memes and I've seen the Photoshops. Jim Harbaugh, what are the chances? Like, is it a remote chance? Is it a big chance? Like, what do you think the odds are, Carmen?
I don't think the odds are great that Eberflus is out. So I just don't think anybody has a good chance necessarily of them doing their due diligence. But I mean, mentioning Kevin Warren makes me think that people are like, well, we would more allow that because of all the recruiting violations and all that stuff that happened at Michigan, all this stuff that continues to happen at Michigan, which is just, honestly, it's comedy at this point. But you have to remember, like, Kevin Warren knows the pro game. He knows that in the NFL, I don't give a crap about those recruiting violations. Like, that's not something that we have to deal with. I mean, there's tampering, obviously, and you don't want to do that. But it's not like Kevin Warren, because he had to impose like any sort of sanctions or threatened sanctions on Michigan, that he would deny the Bears a good football coach if they felt that that was what was best for the team. I don't think Kevin Warren is stopping that because it's Jim Harbaugh and they have a history and all that stuff in the Big Ten. Like, Kevin Warren is a smarter man than that. And he's been around the NFL more than he was in collegiate football. So I don't think that there's that issue. I don't know if that's what ends up happening. I don't know if the Bears want to go after Jim Harbaugh, because I don't know that they're done with Eberflus. And like, again, if by purely performance based, Bears have not shown that they are quick to pull the trigger on some of these guys. I mean, I know Mark Trestman was only there for a little bit, but you know, that was an experiment.
Yeah, but
it doesn't count.
I do think I know, but I do believe that it's more of a new world order with Kevin Warren, and that he's going to, I mean, his clock, like, he's not going to be around forever. He's got to make it, like, if he needs to make a move, I think he's going to be able to make a move. I think that, I don't know, with the potential, like, just the Bears have just kind of modernized their thinking, you know, in some respects, where they, again, exploring the opportunity to move to Arlington Heights, whether you think that's going to happen or not, but still, like, exploring those opportunities, buying that land to develop it and build a stadium shows that they understand the way that the NFL is right now. Kevin Warren, I mean, yeah, in some respects, he knows Jim Harbaugh as well as anybody. And if he thinks that he can win for the Chicago Bears, then there would be nothing to stop him. I think it's laughable when you hear things like, well, the NFL might impose sanctions on, like, no. Like, who's the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns? Get off your moral high ground of like, oh, there was a recruiting vote. Like, shut up. Like, you're not doing
right.
That. Like, no. Like,
on the spectrum of things that make someone a bad guy, recruiting violations are pretty cool.
Stealing signs. Hey, did you ever take back? It. Oh my God. Like, did the Patriots ever have to forfeit like a Super Bowl title? No. Like, it's not like it, no. Like, it's whether also, you believe it happened.
The sign stealing at Michigan is legal in the NFL. Yeah. Like, legal. Like, and the NFL sends advanced scouts to every game, and they are not there to look at the players, because you can see the players on film. They are there to look at the processes and how players, like, how teams sub in and sub out. They look for signs and signals, and they can't take a video camera to that still. That's something that's still illegal in the NFL. But they can absolutely go back to their teams and they say, hey, listen, yeah, I noticed when they're in this formation, they make this like signal. And I noticed that wings flapping seems like it means this. And then you go back and you try to confirm it on tape. That's legal in the NFL. That is a legitimate position. There is an
That's
advantage
somebody's job.
Every team. That's There's somebody's job. Him. So like, what Michigan is in trouble for is something that is totally legal in the NFL.
Yeah, so don't worry about that being a part of the that being a part of the problem. And also, don't worry about where to watch the game on Thursday night, because Game Room Chicago, located at the historic Chicago Athletic Association Hotel right across from Millennium Park, features billiards, shuffleboard, skee ball, papa shot, and so much more, and has plenty of room to watch your favorite games like the Chicago Bears going up against the Carolina Panthers. Plus, with a menu featuring Michelin-starred chef Mari Katsumura snack foods. There's also beer towers, a weekend Bloody Mary bar. There are shareable craft cocktails, so much more. It's a high-end way to watch a football game. If you want to sit there, you want to have a nice evening out, and you want a little bit of an upscale experience when watching your football games, go to Game Room Chicago. Watch the Bears win on Thursday night. You can go watch the Big Ten games on Saturday. And because the Bears aren't going to be playing on Sunday and you still want to go out and catch all the action, go to Game Room Chicago. Check it out. And we'll be there at some point in the near future. And I know that our time is drawing near. I want to see, Sam, is there one more question to get to before we can get on? Love the podcast. What's your score prediction? Thank you, Junior Jordan. I know. All right, listen, here's my...
I appreciate the question.
I don't know. Can you pick a winner with Fox Sports? Are you allowed to do that? Oh, now your connection. Now your connection's going.
Why wouldn't I be? Oh, no! I said no. Why wouldn't I be?
All right, then make a prediction. I don't know.
The game, but... That's true. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Taking the under. Do we know what the over-under is? What's the over-under on this game? I don't even know what it is.
I don't know any of this information. I don't know what the I don't know what you're referring to.
Because I would take the under, whatever it is.
Oh, no, now you're going to
make it. All right, 17-13 Bears. 17-13 Bears. How's that?
I love it. Let me see what the Bears spread. I don't even know. Now I'm doing this on a work computer, too.
Sammy's got us. Sammy's got us. 38.5
38.5 Holy heck.
Yeah, no, I'm still taking the under.
21-17 would be the under. So I don't know what that means.
Bears are -3.5
I will,
Bears are -3.5 So they're the favorites.
Well, I got to do the fantasy show on Thursday. And I know, like, people look at these, and I was listening to SiriusXM today as well, and people were like, well, the Bears' defense is terrible. I'm like, okay, the Bears' defense is not terrible. They've been playing better in recent weeks. Brisker's back. Tyreek Stevenson's back. He's healthy. He's ready to go. The Bears' defense has played really well against bad quarterbacks. The only bad quarterback who had a good game against the Bears was Jordan Love, and that's because that team came into that contest ill-prepared. But every time they've played a lower-level quarterback, they've done pretty well. It's been the high-end guys, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. I do not put Bryce Young in that category right now. So I think that the Bears' defense comes out and plays pretty well, and I think they hold them off. I think it's going to be like 20-10 I think the Bears are going to take this one. I think Tyson's going to play a very conservative game, but I think they're going to pepper DJ Moore with some targets. We saw that Khalil Herbert was questionable for this contest, so perhaps he gets back into the mix, but we could see, gosh, Roshan Johnson just didn't carry the ball. It was a lot of Deontay Foreman, which is fine because, you know what, the Bears have a luxury there at the position, so I think they can run the ball. If I'm not mistaken, Carolina's really bad against stopping the run. Their passing defense seems better than it is because nobody passes on them. They just run the ball, although over the last 5 weeks, they've been a little bit more vulnerable to throwing the ball through the air, but I think they'll use shorter passes to kind of open up the run. But you can run on this team, and I think we'll see a heavy dose of all the Bears running backs, which should keep the score going, score low, because there's going to be a lot of clock movement, not a lot of clock stoppages. So we'll do that. But in any event, what are you going to, what are you up to this week for the foxsports.com there, Carmen?
Well, I will have immediate reaction from the Bears game, either up on Thursday night or Friday, because it'll be late Thursday. But yeah, I have the Sam Laporta story coming out, and I talked to Rob Gronkowski about Sam. We talked to Greg Olson about Sam. And I talked to some coaches and evaluators from around the league just about, you know, who Sam was coming out, what they thought of him. I had one NFC tight ends coach actually tell me that Sam Laporta was first on their board too, and if he was available, they would have taken him. So it's just interesting to get, like, especially now to go back and compare that tight end, this tight end class, this rookie tight end class, which was very deep. And Michael Mayer was taken right after Sam Laporta. So those two are kind of linked, and they played each other last Monday night, which was, you don't hear people talk about Michael Mayer. That's all I'm saying. I think he'll still be a good player though. So it was a long drawn out process of trying to get, people to talk about Sam Laporta. And so I did a lot of work on it. It'll be out tomorrow. Wrote about the Vikings and just how hard what Josh Dobbs did was, and also that we need to be giving more props to Kevin O'Connell because he was out there just playing Madden in real time. And I don't think that the Vikings get that win done last week against the Falcons if they don't have a former quarterback at head coach. So I wanted to, I gave a shout out to Kevin O'Connell. Other than that, this weekend, I love Kevin. He's great. I think I don't know what else I have this weekend. Oh, I'll be on football night in Chicago on Friday. So that's
nice.
Yeah, on Friday. I think I'm going to go into the studio and see my guys at CHGO too. So check those things out.
Very cool. Be sure to keep up with that. In addition to what you were doing with Sam Laporta, I asked Mike Martz. I said, Mike Martz, how good is Sam Laporta? And Mike Martz says, he's so good, I would trade him away. So you know that's the stamp of approval. If Mike Martz thinks you're such a great tight end that I didn't talk to him. I would never talk to Mike Martz. I'll still never forget him. Forgive him for trading away Greg Olson.
I did have Rob tell me that Sam Laporta is changing the game for rookie tight ends. So but he's very insistent that Sam is not going to end up with more touchdowns than Rob did his first year, which was 10. He's like, he's going to have more receiving yards and catches than I did, but no more tutties. I was like, okay, sure, Rob.
And Rob Gronkowski also blocked, so there is that. Which is
making it easy. That's the point.
Sam we'll see.
Also blocks.
Does he? Does he?
He does.
All right, I'm going
to. I talked to guys about the Hope Iowa program and why that's such a big thing there. And yeah, yes, Sam Laporta blocks. He's really good at it.
All right. I'm going to go back and I'm going to go pop in that Raiders game tonight and I will report back and I'll let you know. I'm going to go back and chart it. But in any event, I want to thank you for all your hard work. Thanks for being here. Thanks for bearing with the Wi-Fi issues. As always, we appreciate you being here and we appreciate everybody who is listening in with the show, giving some comments and all that good stuff. I know it's not a great time to be a Bears fan, but we do appreciate you being here. Thanks so much. And the Tyler Scott show is going to be pushed till Friday. We'll be talking to him after the game. So that's why we didn't have an episode on Tuesday. We'll talk to him on Friday. So until that time, I will see you. Enjoy the game on Thursday night. For Carmen, I'm Adam. Bear down, and Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy.